Ruhr, Festival Podcast.
Welcome to the Docs Ruhr Festival Podcast. I'm Bernd Saarling and I meet today the filmmaker Eve Hilgers. Eve, thank you very much that you find the time for this workshop conversation.
Yes, looking forward.
I found a little bit on your webpage. You graduated in 2012 from the Art Academy St. Joost, and I could read that you as a filmmaker focus primarily on the changes that internet and new technology have on our society and our behavior. And in terms of this new media and the internet, there's a director statement, what I quote, "As a filmmaker, I try to visualize that invisible and apparently flat world and bring it to life. Not to point with a finger and to show the fears from the media, but to give people an insight into the meaning and consequences of everything they do and see on the web. That way, hopefully, they can better decide for themselves how they want to deal with that fantastic World Wide Web." Eve, how come that over a long period of time you focus in your work on this fantastic World Wide Web and how younger ones, also children and youth, are going to deal with it?
I think I ended up in the online world. I started with my graduation film. It's about teenagers who have their own YouTube page. It was 10 years ago, and 10 years ago, it was new. So there were not that many children online posting stories about their lives on YouTube. And I found it really interesting to watch those videos. And then I thought it's a new world or a new form of making a diary or writing a diary. And you can see children growing up as well. So I really liked the new form children use to express their feelings or to find themselves. And I made a film about that. But then when you dive into the online world of teenagers, it keeps surprising. And in 10 years, it developed. So now we have TikTok and Instagram. So every time there's a new world opening for me as well, like for the children as well. And I think they live in those two worlds. So they're the things they do or how they express themselves. It's the online world is a part of their lives. And I like to mix those worlds or to show those worlds. So when the online world is developing, also my films went developing, or I developed a lot of films about the new online world.
The film that is running here during the festival is called From That Moment On, Everything Changed. You tell in this film about children and youth that had to face this moment when they realized that their parents will separate. How did you come to this idea to do a film about a divorce?
It was a question from the broadcaster. They wanted to have a documentary series about the divorce of parents. And then they asked me to make a film, but my parents are still together. So I didn't experience my parents were getting divorced. And then I did some research. So I talked to a lot of children, also people from my age. I asked my friends, how did they experience the divorce? And then I found out that the moment that the parents were telling that they were going to get divorced, there were so many amazing stories. And everybody, even when they are 30, they have so many memories, like particular memories about that moment, because it's so impactful. They knew what the parents were doing, or their eyes, or their hands, or everybody knew some weird details about that moment, and that triggered me. And then I thought, I need to make a film not about one child, but I want to make a film about the moment they were getting divorced or telling their children they are getting divorced, and to zoom into those like weird details of their memories. So I wanted to collect those memories and the details of that moment.
For a short film, you have quite a lot of protagonists in your film. I think there are eight, is that right?
Yeah.
How did you find them?
In a lot of ways. So we made a Instagram post. So for me, Instagram, also the online world, is helping me to find special children because they are online and they're... let me tell this in a good way. Normally, also for my other films, I ask influencers to post my advertisement that I'm searching for children. So I end up with a lot of children and they can easily slide into my DM because they can go to my page, they can see me, they can see my work. So it's a better way of communicating to children as well. So we got a lot of reactions, but also I asked it on my Instagram if you have friends and they have friends. And then we also searched for special children. I wanted to have like young children and teenagers, but also different colors. Can you say it like that? So I wanted to have like all kinds of children because I knew that every child, especially when they are really different, they have another memory of that moment. So I wanted to collect like other forms of memories.
But then you decided to shoot in a studio.
Yes.
How did this idea develop?
It started that I didn't want to make a film where I'm going into children's lives. So I made a lot of children documentaries and I always have 6 till 8 shooting days and I enter a child's life. And then the first day they are, whoa, it's super cool. They're coming to film me. And then the second day they're like, okay, it's nice that you're here. And then the third day they're like, are you coming again? Don't you have enough? It's only a film of 10 minutes or 50 minutes. And then it's really hard work. And because you're entering their lives and for them, 10 days or 8 days is really, really long. So it's really hard work. And that was the first thing. I wanted to make a film not entering children's lives. And because I wanted to make a film about the moment, I wanted to find a form where we can dive into the moment because it happened already. So I wanted to find a form where we can go back into the moment. And I saw some films where they did that in a great way. Like they built something in the studio where the protagonist dive into the past. And I thought, I want to do that too. And then I went up in a white studio because I wanted, like I was telling, the particular details of their memories, I could give them color in a white studio. So everything a child remembered of that moment gets color in my film. So when you have a studio which is all white, like maybe we need to tell them because they didn't see the film, I think. But we made a whole house in a studio. It's a white studio where you have a table, a living room and a bedroom because in those places, the children heard that their parents were getting divorced. So I placed them in the studio and I said, go to the place where it all started and what was happening. And then when a boy says, oh, my mom asked me, what do you want for a drink? Then he says, oh, please give me some apple juice. Then you see the apple juice. So it really pops out in a white studio. So it was to zoom into the details of their memories. It was a form of, yeah.
We must say even the flowers are white in this room and there is a stairway going to the wall and ending into nothing. And it makes it a little bit like a dream on the one hand, but it's some sort of sterile, I would call it, on the other hand. So did you work with a production designer together? Or how it's like in a fiction, actually. And what did the TV guy say when you showed up with this more or less expensive idea to have a studio setting?
Yeah, it was my producer because I studied at the Art Academy where you learn to do everything yourself. So before I made some films all by myself and I said, yeah, I can make a studio all white and I'm going to collect some stuff. And then my producer said, no, but if you want to do this, it needs to look really good. Otherwise, if you have different kinds of white, then it will not work. He said, we need to have a production designer. So there was a production designer involved.
And did he or she have any impact, or did you know already precisely what you wanted to have?
Yeah, I precisely, because we researched all the children, and then I knew particularly what in their stories I wanted to pop out. So I knew the girl, she heard when they came back from their holiday and she were at the airport, then the parents split up. After they landed, the parents split up and she was standing in the hall where they were going to the taxis. And yeah, I knew that was like super weird when you're in the airport. So I knew I want to zoom into the doors where they entered and left. And I knew the cakes on the table, like a girl was saying, they had pink cakes on the table. I wanted to zoom into that, so place her on the table. So I had many ideas, and also maybe a storyboard of how I wanted to do it, also with some special tricks. Like there was a boy who was sending, after he heard that the parents were getting divorced, he sent a message to all of his classmates. And I wanted to also give the messages colors in the studio. So we used a glass and we projected on the glass, so the messages were popping around his face. And that were ideas I already had. So it's not a production designer, but I knew how you could use like the glass. And I wanted, because I made a lot of films about the online world and I used digital messages popping in, and I wanted to have it more real. So we beamed it. Do you call it beaming? We beamed it on a glass. So it's really in the studio. So that were ideas that came from me.
So that means you had one child and or use in a day to shoot, or how can I picture that?
No, it was really hard work. We did all the interviews in 2 days. So when you have 8 children, I did 4 children in 1 day. Yeah. But that's why this is my first film where I already had a script. So normally I dive into a children's world and you know a little bit what the story is going to be and what kind of scenes you want to have. But now I knew all the stories because they already happened. And I knew exactly which part of their stories is in my storyline. So I wrote a script for the first time in my life. I wrote a script. And if you see the script, it is similar to the film, how it's edited. So I knew when a girl was telling when I came home with the bus and I saw my 2 parents and it was like, that's weird because they never pick me up from the bus all together. So she thought, there's something going on. And that feeling, I find it really interesting. And that part of her story was interesting to put in the beginning of the film. So I already knew where their stories were going to end up and how the storyline was going to be.
And when you were working on the script, how far the children and youth were involved?
I never asked them to be part of the story, but I asked them, can you particularly tell me all the details of your story on forehand? So I did some long research conversations. It was COVID during that time, so it was nice. So I could do all the conversations on forehand over Zoom, so I didn't need to go to all the children, but collect all those stories. It took some hours to collect all those stories on forehand.
And then you'd suggest how to tell it in the studio.
Yeah.
There is this color of this spaghetti. I remember, I mean, this really sticks out when you have this white room and suddenly they are cooking spaghetti and you have this red tomato sauce. There's the other thing I still have in mind was this furniture that's empty, just in a white nothing you have there. And them, of course, because they are not white, the children are not white. You have some footage of what you mentioned, this airport thing, or what is it? How did you get this footage into this room?
We did it with a beamer. And I went to the place where she explained me exactly where her parents were splitting up. So I went to the airport and recorded the place myself, and then we beamed it in the studio. And I wanted to beam it because then I could, I try to have the parents in the picture, but you never see their faces. So sometimes there are two actors playing the parents and you don't see their faces, but their shoulders. Or when the girl is telling my father was sticking on the table, you see his finger sticking on the table. And I thought if you beam it, then you can use shadows. So the girl is standing there in front of the beamer, you can see her. But then in the shadows, I could use the actors to play the parents in the shadow.
There's another thing that they are writing words on this plastic thing. How did this come up?
I was trying different forms because when we entered the studio, I didn't know what was going to work. Because I never tried, you cannot try if you have a studio built, it was really expensive, and you cannot do a test or something. So I thought I should do different kind of stuff. Also, because I had 2 hours, 3 hours with each child, and I need to do different forms to get their stories. And then the text writing was an idea to collect words or feelings on a screen. And now I saw the film today and I was laughing a bit because I wanted to clean the glass every time another child enters the studio. That was the idea. But then the producer had those markers who you cannot get off the glass. So then I was like, shit. But then every child needs to write something and then another child comes in and writes something else. And now when I saw the film, it was really nice because through the glass, you could see all the other words that other children wrote. So it was a nice way of collecting feelings. And all the words are, like today I saw Scheiße in Dutch, but it's not translated here in Germany. Maybe you cannot say that. But a lot of children wrote that down. Like what's the first thing that pops into your mind when they told you? They all said Scheiße. In Dutch, we call it kut. But it was a way to collect those stories. And when all the children saw the other words of the other children, for them it was inspiring to get to their own feelings as well. So they saw sadness and they thought, no, I didn't feel sad, but I felt more like blank. So it was a nice form of collecting all those feelings.
I liked this moment with this chat group, class chat group, where he puts that in.
Yeah.
So this is very touching, I think. And there's the other moment where this one boy is laying on the bed. How did you create that?
Yeah, he told me in the research that he sent a message to his classmates and they were all cheering him up and they were saying, if you need something and if you need to talk to me, you can talk to me. But the whole class was sending hearts and some really cute emojis. And I found that so cute, but also inspiring because he told the story that if you're telling it to your classmates, it will help. That was his story. That was his part of the story in the film. Like if you talk about your feelings, then you will get something back. And that was his part of the story. And I knew that on forehand. So we recorded the conversation with the WhatsApp and then we projected it on the glass.
I considered it as very proud of him because, you know, it's actually a stigma when you're parents separate and don't tell anybody for a while. And he's, you know, just, she has so much trust to his classmates. That's amazing for me that he finds his help in this.
Yeah.
A class chat can be cool. I mean, we all know that sometimes.
Yeah.
Another question what I had was, you have to have the, you know, you have to ask the parents to shoot with their kids. And in the situation of divorce and everything, it's not that easy. How did that work out that you get, allowance of the parents to shoot with their children about this topic?
Yeah, it's about trust. But I did a Zoom call with the parents before I talked to the children. So I already knew them and their story. And then after I talked to the children and I knew what I was going to shoot or what their story was going to be, I did another Zoom call to tell them, your children are going to tell this story. Are you okay with that? So it's investment in their trust. And for them, it was really nice because a lot of parents never talk to their children about their divorce. After they get divorced, they're like, we need to cheer the children up and to get them used to the new situation. And then they try to forget or maybe not talk about it, especially the moments they talk about, how is it when you live in two houses? How do we do that? What is bothering you? But they never go back to the moment, which is really, really impactful. So for them, it was really nice to hear how they experienced it. And for them, it was a kind of feedback like, oh, I need to talk to my children about this. So for them, I think they all liked it. Or for them, it was really interesting to hear the stories of their children. So it helped them a lot. So that's why I think they also give me the trust. And the only girl, there's a little girl, she's 7 years old, and her parents were pulling her both her hands. So she was like, how do you say that in English?
Torn between the parents. And those parents didn't agree?
No, her parents, because she knew that this happened to the girl and it's good to talk about it. So she said it's also okay when she feels okay. And also good for her to see it in 5 years, maybe to see her story back, how she, because I think they split up half a year before we were shooting, so it was really fresh. And the mom said it's really good that there's a video for her in 5 years. She can watch herself, like how she experienced it. So there's, she doesn't play a big role because she was too young and what she experienced was a little bit too rough. But I thought it's good to have this story in the film as well, because not every divorce is like peaceful, like parents sitting on the table and having cake on the table. There's also fights, and she tells that story in a very childish way, or how she experienced it. But her mother thought it was good to do this. And I went watching the film before it was going to be screened, because I knew if it's too harmful or they don't like it, that other people or her classmates or other parents are going to see this. And if they are not okay, we're going to take the part out. So I always try to be transparent because they are children. So you need to be careful. So
especially the little girl, you could see how hard it is for her to tell this still, and how she's still dealing with it. Actually, all of them, more or less, in a different level. Some of them, you know, can tell it already. Some of them, you see, it's hard for them to tell. Also, they told you in advance. That's what I was surprised, that it is in a studio setting such a document. Also, it's everything settled and prepared. You can still see in the eyes how much they still deal with that tragedy, you can call it. What was your agreement with the cinematographer when you went to the studio? What was your, you know, concept for the cinematography?
There wasn't one concept, but every part of the story had his own concept. So we did some cinematographic tricks. So the girl on the table, I already had the idea of her sitting on the table and playing all the family members. But that was one idea. But I wanted to show the studio, like all the children needed to enter the studio. And I wanted to collect that moment where they were maybe searching and getting into the moment. And me asking them to go to the places. And then we agreed that he was just following them. Like we were shooting a real documentary. They enter, we had one idea, we do a wide angled shot, and then they enter the studio and you just dive into the film. And we did some the cinematographer and me, we did a lot of documentaries together. So we always dive into the world of children, and we are sitting on the bed with them and laying down with them. And we did the same thing with these children, like we were making a documentary. So the cinematographer dived into the scene with the children, and we were just following them and how they were behaving and observing how they are acting. And every child did it in another way, which was really inspiring. And for me, it was like, it was really exciting to see that it worked, because I didn't know beforehand that the children really can get into a moment like this in a wide studio. They are not at home, and I only asked them to like show me how the moment was happening for them. But I didn't know if it was going to work, if they could really get into the moment. But it was amazing to see every child was, because I asked them, can you go to the place? Can you tell me exactly what was happening then? And can you explain me how you're feeling? And then in 2 hours, like I said, we had 2 or 3 hours with each child, and they all dove into the moment, and they were, it looked like they were there, especially the boy who was laying on the bed. I said, can you go back to your feelings? Because not, I didn't ask all the children to get into their feelings, because some of them were really young, but he was 14 years old, and I asked him, can you go back to your feelings? And I think in 1 minute, he was already crying, and you could see on his face that he really was back in the moment where he was laying on his bed, which was amazing for me. And then I thought, what was I doing 6 days filming a child at his home? I can go into a moment or a feeling just in 2 hours if you create a bubble like the studio was, which was amazing to see.
Well, there are two effects for me. The one thing is that you see how it's burned in their memory, this moment and the details, all of them. And on the other hand, it's more or less in the studio setting, it's their common story. So, I mean, it's always in this room happening. Also, so many families are involved in this case, so many protagonists, but it's coming together. Mm-hmm. The stories are coming together. I like this very much. There is one child painting in the end. How did this come up, this picture?
Yeah, I did a Zoom call on forehand with her to talk about the divorce of her parents. And she had a lot of paintings in the back of her. She was Zooming with me in her bedroom. And she made a lot of paintings and drawings, and they were behind her on the wall. And then I asked, oh, can you show me those drawings? And then there was the drawing of those two clouds with a rainbow in between and crying clouds. And she said, I made this after I've heard that my parents were getting divorced. So that was when she showed me the drawing. I was like, wow, this needs to be in the film. And then I asked her to paint it like really big in the studio. And she was really clever, because she said, she's like an artist. She said, after I've heard it, first I got a lot of pencils and I was scratching on the paper. And then she said, when I watched it, it was really beautiful. So when you're really angry and you put your emotions on a paper, you can get something beautiful. And then I was like, wow, she was 10 years old. And I was like, wow, a child can say something so clever. That needs to be in the film. So I asked her to make the painting again, because it's really artistic, because she first painted two clouds with crying eyes, and then she painted, because when the clouds are raining, you get a rainbow. And it's another way of telling the same thing, like when there's something bad happening, there's also coming something good out of it. And that is amazing. That is an amazing way how children can look back to a moment which is so impactful, and it hurt them, but she said you can also get something good out of it, which is maybe the best ending for a film like this.
There's another thing that I still have in my mind, is this cake, this smashing cake. Where did this come from?
They didn't do that in real life. But when the girl told me about the cakes on the table, which normally you have when there's something you're going to celebrate, But now there was bad news coming. But first, children would think, oh, there's cake on the table. There's something good happening. And then the moment changed. And then it's something bad. And nobody, she was telling, nobody eat their cake. And then I thought how, I was trying to find visual forms to show how they were feeling. Like the cake being smashed, it's a part of it. Like also the scratching pencils on the paper is also a way of like putting their feelings in a visual form.
What leads me to the editing, there's sometimes, you know, one take torn apart by, you know, having this smashing cake in between, or sometimes in a take where you don't have to edit, but you edit it in a way that you just feel what was said. How did you find your style for the editing of this studio setting?
That's a difficult question because I edited myself. The first edit was, I did the first edit and then an editor finished the film. But all those rhythmic things came from me. And it's just a feeling. Like, feel what the children are feeling or try to feel how they were feeling or try to visualize in the editing how they were feeling, like the fast editing. In the beginning, it's we are going to the moment that the parents are going to tell it. And then all the children told me it felt like, you see those videos online on YouTube where children hear that they are going to go to Disney. And a lot of children think that when their parents are going to sit together, it's that moment that they are going to tell we're going to go to Disney or going to do something fun. And I tried to edit that feeling as well, like children coming downstairs really happy and then it's not what I was thinking. So I tried to put those feelings into the edit, maybe. But it's listening to the children and then trying to find a way to empower their feelings in the edit. But it's a feeling. It's not like I had a special idea about it.
Yeah, but it delivers this feeling of being, you know, torn to both sides or however, you know, it's a deep cut. You find those editing often in the internet, in the YouTube or something, and here it delivers this inner feelings of the heroes. For me, it worked very well.
But it gives you the feeling, when I saw the film today, like you want to hold your breath for 50 minutes, like, and you're like, it's like a roller coaster ride, the editing. And I can also say, maybe I can imagine that people are going to be critical about the editing as well, because it's like a film. And maybe when you try to explain something to children, you also need to like have some air, maybe. So when I saw the film, I'm curious how 10 years old are going to watch the film. At ITVA, they said we don't want to screen the film because we think it's too hard for children of 10 years old. And I'm still in doubt, because we had a screening for young children and they all wanted to tell their story about their parents getting divorced. So if you have a good moderator who is doing the screening, then it's really nice, because it's a way, I think a lot of children can recognize something in the film. I'm hoping that every child who is going through the divorce of their parents, they can connect to something in the film. Not everything, but I hope it's that universal, that it has all the parts of the divorce, hopefully.
How did the screening go for the parents and the children of your protagonists? How did this work?
They laughed a lot. But I got a message from, I think, 3 parents that they had a really good conversation after the screening of the film, because it opened up a conversation. Also with the other children of the family as well. Like they could talk to their children because now they knew how they were feeling, and they really thanked me for opening up their stories.
How did you develop the music? So like sometimes I had the feeling, I mean, it's very strong what they tell already, and then you have the music a little bit pushing this feeling. I didn't need that from my perspective. How did you develop this concept?
Yeah, also in music, maybe I can imagine that it's too much, but I did it in sound design as well, like giving everything like sounds. It was a way of make their feelings bigger, or you could really feel what they were feeling. Yeah, the music is playing a part of getting you into their feelings.
How are you going to show this film when you still wonder you shouldn't show it to smaller kids? Where is this film being shown in television then?
Yeah, then there's a good conversation. After on festivals, I always ask if there's a good moderator doing the conversation. And it was screened on television, but then in a time slot where parents watch with their children. So we have a broadcaster where only parents with their children watch. So we knew that when you screen it at that time, at that particular moment, parents will watch it with their children. So, and we didn't have any parents calling or emailing, so hopefully.
In terms of short documentaries, like you have done quite a few, how is their afterlife? Where are they shown? Because in the cinemas with short documentaries, we always have the problem that they are not going to be released in combination with another film or whatever. They are actually not. How did your film do after they did the festival tour?
They're online in the Netherlands. And some of my films are in educational programs, so schools can search for particular subjects. I think this will be as well. So when the teacher think we should talk about divorce, they can find the films. This film was made in a series of, there are another three films about divorce. So teachers can watch those films and have a conversation with the class. And my other films, particularly the films about cyberbullying, online shaming, they're all films that are watched by schools, because a lot of teachers are dealing with cyberbullying and they want to talk about the subject, and a film can be really helpful. So there are, ITVA has a place where they have the films, and also in Holland they have a website where teachers can go and find the material, which is nice. But the better way, I always say, I want all my films on YouTube.
Did you?
No, it was really hard in the Netherlands. Now they are opening up, but the broadcasters, because they got paid from the government, they want to regulate the people who are watching. They want to have the numbers, and if you put it online, they lose that, or they couldn't count those views. So it was really hard to get the films online, especially the one about cyberbullying. I said, if you put it online, then in the comments you have a conversation, because they did an interview with the protagonist and it was on YouTube. It was watched like, I think almost a million times, which is a lot in Holland. And there was a big conversation. A lot of children were sending messages like, I was being cyberbullied as well. I feel sorry for this girl. It was amazing. And it was just an interview with the protagonist. So I was like, if you put the film online, you can create a community and an after talk with children in a way they are used to communicate with each other. But it's a fight. I'm still fighting to get the films on YouTube. It's changing now. There are more films going on YouTube. I have one film which was released on YouTube before it was broadcasted. So it's changing, but it's slowly changing. Children are much faster. I think if we're putting our films online, then they're watching films on TikTok maybe. And then we need to switch to another medium.
Did you work with teachers and schools together to do a workshop already?
I did. I also did it here in Germany about the film about online shaming. We had conversations with teachers. So we watched the film and then discussed the issues they are having. I did that in Holland as well. So, but it's, they need to ask me. Sometimes the teacher sees the film and then ask me to come to their school or have a conversation. But it's not in a program. It's just, most of the times it's just one school or a couple of schools coming together or something like that.
since I know that the short films are narrowed down as well when it comes to money you earn, how do you survive by doing those artistic projects always again and again? How do you cope with making a living?
It's hard. That we always still a bit mad about it, that children documentaries are always seen as a first step when you're becoming a documentary filmmaker. You first make a children documentary because it's a short form, and then afterwards you're going to make feature length documentaries for adults. But making children documentaries is a really special form where you need to have the talent to see the children's view and to put it into put it on the screen or find a form where they understand the feelings. I don't think every director, even really good directors who made feature lengths, cannot make children documentaries. So it's a special form, and it's always the little child of documentary filmmaking, also with the money. But I still like the form. That's why I'm staying, why I still make children documentaries, because I like that you can experiment with the form and to find new forms of telling a story. And I survive, I make a living out of it, because I also direct for children television. So I make television series and other projects on the side to survive, because you cannot live from making children documentaries. But now I'm working on a documentary series, because a lot of children are watching documentary series on Netflix. So I'm really enthusiastic that it's now becoming more regular that children watch documentaries, because they see some really interesting documentaries on Netflix, and now they're like, oh, that's kind of cool. So it opens up for filmmakers as well. And I think that you can make a really exciting series where you want to watch, how is this protagonist gonna develop, and I want to see it next week. So I'm trying to make a series now. And hopefully that's the first bigger project where you can make a living out of it, to do something bigger. Yeah.
For Netflix?
No, not for Netflix, but for the Dutch broadcaster.
Because a producer just told me that she was asking with a children's documentary at Disney Plus and Netflix, and both of them told them, sorry, we don't have not scripted reality shows in our program at all.
Yeah. Now I made a documentary series for Amazon Prime. It opens up worlds for filmmakers to earn some money as well. But I think now they're, because it's about subjects teenagers also like, because they make documentary series about football players, influencers. So I hope that the genre is growing now also on the commercial broadcasters as well. But still I'm in doubt, because then it's more commercial and they want to have like the fancy big story. And I think I'm going to stick to the governmental broadcasters, because then they're open for other layers underneath the story. But I tried to find a way where you can mix it, to make an excited story, but then have some layers underneath. I think you can mix that really well.
If I hope we will see more films of you with children in a way like From That Moment On Everything Changed. I was very impressed what form you found for telling this conflict. Well, I hope you continue working that way with children furthermore. Thank you very much. And yeah, hope you have a good time here during the Doxor Festival.
Yes, thanks. I hope it will inspire other directors to search for new forms, hopefully. Because a lot of children documentaries are going to a child's home and just following them. You can, especially for children documentary, you can search for new forms, and it makes it exciting to work on a new documentary.